We continue Bezer Hashem's Baruch Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Simin Pei Sif Memvav Kesha Shesrum La Soy Soy. Any type of knot that may not be made Kesha Kazug Asrum Gam Ken Lahater. One may not undo such a knot. Makam Tsar. If there's a question of Tsar Yesh Lahatay Day of Chavim, one may do it through a Nachri. However, says the Mishnah Brura, if it's a type of a knot, that's a knot that's a issa deraisa, a double knot that's meant to be there for a long time, one should not rely on a nachri either to undo behalf a Jew on Shabbos, even b'makom tzar. Included in this, explained the Paiskim, is if you have like a twist on top of a bag, if it's used to tie and it's twisted many, many times, that might be included in a kesher shel kayama. Sif mem zayin derech chayotim. The tailors, shekoydim shetayfim as a beged, before they sew together a garment, mecharim satich betfiris mervaches. They first make these big stitches, which is basting, which is not meant to be there permanently, vakach, and then they sew together the garment, and then they remove those threads. Those threads may not be removed on Shabbos because it's considered maka bepatish. And that would include anything that is meant to be, that is used, any of these stitches that were sewn into a garment may not be done on Shabbos. However, if there are tags on the garment that don't involve any issa deraisa in removing them, they may be removed on Shabbos. Begadim asurim lachtz b'mashicha sif mem ches, garments that are made to have lace put into them, a string or a tzua, a lace, kegoy mechnesayim, pants, nalom, shoes, a chalak, a garment, im abagit chodesh, if it's a new garment, also lachnisa behem, one should not put in those laces. You're making it into a garment. But an older garment, if it's not such a tight and whole, it's not such a big problem to put in that string mutter. But if there's a tarach involved, then it's usher. Then the loch would be that one is not allowed. The one would not be allowed to do so on Shabbos. And there are those that say that the question that comes up is regarding a lining in a coat. Where somebody has a coat with a lining and he wants to put the lining into the coat, that should remain there for an entire winter. Most Paiskim are makel, are lenient and allowing to put that lining in. Because since you could wear that garment for long term, even with the lining, without the lining, so you're not making it into a beged, and therefore it's permissible. But on the other hand, putting shoelaces into a shoe that never had the shoelaces before, that would be usur. Even if these shoelaces were previously used, you're just taking them out of one pair of shoes and putting it into another pair of shoes, that would be usur. But if you have something that you're not going to leave there on a permanent basis, you don't, then it would be mutter. Sif mem tesla pomim, ezet firmus galkelis. Sometimes a stitch gets undone, umisparadis chachtich xas mazumizu, and whatever stitch together starts to disconnect, or moishkin bechut at firo, and you pull that stitch, ve mischatkois umischabris, and then they become attached again. One may not do so on Shabbos. Mishum davatayfer is considered sewing. This comes up by a button that's loose. One has to be careful not to pull the thread of the button to cause it to get tighter onto the garment. On the other hand, one may not cause that the button should fall off, because that's considered kareya. Similarly, if there's a stitch in a garment, by a hem, for example, that is tight, and you want to tighten, you want to loosen that stitch because it doesn't look nice when it's like crumpled together. That the halacha is also to be done on Shabbos. But if a button fell off before Shabbos and they're just like pieces of the thread left, removing those pieces would be permissible. It's not considered anything of significance. Furthermore, attaching things with glue, with a safety pin, would be, you have to decide if it has to be viewed, if it's mutter usser. If it's meant to be left there permanently, then it would be usser. But if you're just putting a safety pin on a temporary basis, then it would be mutter. And the same goes for putting a pin into a garment. If it's going to be left there indefinitely, it should not be put into the garment. But if it's like a piece of jewelry that you're just putting in there while you're going to wear the garment, and when you're going to take off the garment, you're going to take out that piece of jewelry, that pin, it's permissible. Sif Nun. Nayarish Nidbeku Shlabi Kavana. Pieces of paper got attached. Kavai Shlapamim Nidbeku Dafi Svarim. Sometimes pages of a book are attached. Machmes Atzeva, because of the ink, Shetzoven HaKarech, the person who bound it, put some extra ink that caused pages to get attached. Ashnitko ezetavim b'shava, or wax connected some pages, mutl farskan, they could be opened. But that's only if the pages were originally separated. If the pages were not originally separated, to separate them on Shabbos, that would be usur. Furthermore, if wax dripped on some letters in a sefer, you're not allowed to scrape that wax off. Sif Nun Aleph. Kalim Shekarcho Sovapim Matlis. Something that you have around it, a string. Keshuva Meshicha. Mutal Kar B'Shabbos. Could be ripped open on Shabbos. This includes all types of bags that contain food, no matter how the food is wrapped in those bags. If you're doing it in a way that you're ripping the bag, that it won't be reusable, so then you're not making a bag, and it would be mutter. Shezem akalkal tzarech Shabbos. Then that's considered doing an act of kilkel. But this would not allow one to open a sealed envelope that has a letter on Shabbos. That one may not do, even through a goy l'chatchila. Sif Nubeis also tzutshem b'alchai b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to trap any living thing on Shabbos. Vafilu parish, even a fly, an ant, also litvois, one can't trap on Shabbos. Anything that will require that you could get, that you can't catch in one shot, is considered an act of seida. If you put food out, and that causes the ant to go to a certain place, that would be permissible. If this fly is on the person's body, and it's going to, and there's a problem that's going to bite you, bother you, if there's an issue of such pain, the best would be just to try to get it to fly away, or to shake it off your garment. But if there's a situation of danger or extreme fear, like a bee, then we could be more lenient in picking it up and moving it away. Avil also lahargoy, one may not directly kill it, and therefore one can't even spray on it whatever type of a chemical that will kill it immediately. However, putting out different things that when the animal, when this ant approaches them, then it will cause it to die, is more lenient. Kios lagashum balchai, we're not allowed to kill any living thing on Shabbos. Akinim, kimishim havin rakman azeya, lice that are formed from one's perspiration. Mekomakum elush begodim, also lahargam, but those that form on clothing, one may not kill them. El noitlam vizarakum, them, you're never allowed to kill. Rek elu shenim tzubroish, those that are found on the hair, mutal lahargam, but many Paiskim suggest that the lice that are on our hair, we're not allowed to remove. That's not the lice that are spoken about in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch. And furthermore, when one is removing lice from his hair, he has to be careful not to remove any hair, not to pull out any hair. That certainly may not be done on Shabbos. Sifnun Gimel Yesh Lezark, Shoretz Listam Teve Keli. One has to be careful when you want to close a box, that Sheyesh Bam Zvuvim Sheyafrichim, that he has in it flies. Sheyafrichim Tchil Misham. You should cause that they should be they should move away. However, if they're not considered trapped, if it's a big box and that's not considered an area where they're trapped, there's room for leniency. Because if you close this box, you're causing them to be trapped. The putting out a trap on for to catch whatever in the house, mouse trap, before Shabbos is certainly mutter. On Shabbos, one should try to avoid doing it unless there's a real issue. One doesn't have to make sure that he should leave it there. He should try to chase away whatever is there. One is not allowed to extract blood. Even blood that's between the teeth, one may not suck out on Shabbos. One may not put on a wound, a bandage, that causes blood or pus to come out. One is not allowed to squeeze a wound to cause blood or pus to come out. Sifnun hei. If you have small pieces of skin that start to get detached from the around the fingernail, Osla Siren, one may not remove them on Shabbos, basically whether using a keli or your yad or your fingernails, b'mishnayim with your teeth, because it might be either the malacha of geizes or toilish. But if most of fingernail got detached, the krivelin not to get it's almost completely detached, and it's bothering you, you could rip it off with your fingers, avloy b'keli, not with a scissor or anything else. And this applies as well to anything that's on your lips. That there, it's much more. Because when are you allowed to use your hands to rip off such an extra piece of skin? You're only allowed to use your hands if you usually use a scissor. So on Shabbos, by using your hands, you're doing it with a shinui. But if you always take it off with your teeth or with your hands, then Shabbos, that becomes the way that you always do it. And since that becomes the way you always do it, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, even with your hand, with your fingers. V'loy parash ruba, and if most of it is not detached, then osla sira fil b'yad, you can't detach that nail, fingernail under any circumstances. Sif nevav, osla ishbeka toicha choymet shamashkim, one can't pour into vinegar different types of beverages. That's how you turn them into vinegar, because that looks like ma'abed. Many paiskim are lenient with this halacha. They only say when you do a large amount and when you pour it into a very strong vinegar. Otherwise, it wouldn't be usser. Or, for example, that if you want something just to get a taste of the vinegar or a taste of the alcohol, there's room for leniency. The halach is that we have to salt meat. And meat that's salted, the halach is, meat that's slaughtered has to be salted within 3 days. And if it wasn't, then you can't salt the meat anymore. The only way you'll be able to eat that meat is by roasting and extracting the blood. So if you have basar shleim nimach meat that wasn't salted, v'chal yom shlishi lo b'shabbos, and the third day is on Shabbos, shim lo yidicheu, if at this point you don't roast, soak the meat, rinse the meat, yei neser, you won't be able to eat that meat with salting alone. Yesh lo yidicha yidei oiv t'kechavim, you could use a nachri to do that rinsing, soaking, but the Magen Avraham says it shouldn't be done only by makom hefser where there's a financial loss involved. Avidei Yisrael, if there's no, if through Yisrael it's Asur. The Mishnah Berurah says that if it's really a Hefz Merubah, and when one cannot find a Nachri to do it, you could do it at Aroma. That means wash your hands over the meat, and like that the meat will get wet, that it wasn't directly soaked. Siftun Ches Aslam Raich Ritiya, Bekein Shava Zephas. One may not smear a wax or tar. Lechein Aslitun Shava Shemin Av Benekev. You're not allowed to put wax or thick oil over a hole, the sosmai to close it up, or the dapkai, a laser dove, a simen, because that is considered an act of memarich. Even just dabbing something on is something that should be avoided, because there's a concern that if you're going to dab it on, you may come to smear it on. But in a situation where you need an ointment, particularly for somebody who has a rash or for a baby, if you dab it on, it's mutter. But you're allowed to smear food to when you're just spreading butter on a piece of bread, that would be permissible. But it's only permissible if you're doing it derech achila. If your goal is to eat it, but if your goal is to make it look nice, and the way you do it is with marich, then it's much more of a question. One may not break or tear anything that isn't the food. The most relevant place where this question comes up is when one is using the bathroom. One is not allowed to tear toilet paper, both by the perforations and not by the perforations. Avama shumachel, something that's food, afilarakla behema, even though it's only animal food, mutter, that may be broken. Okay, mutter lach the kash, you're allowed to break straw, lachs by shinov, because straw is animal food. However, the paiskim are concerned, the Biyar Locha says, we don't live amongst animals. So we can't say that the straw that we have is really designated for animal food. It becomes much more of a question. Vatsi besomim, some water besomim, muta limla lechtim, you're allowed to crack, kde lerichbem, if your goal is to be able to smell them. Vafilim kashim kates, even if they're already very hard, I've licked my son to pick them up from where they're attached, kde lachts of shinov, in order to use for a toothpick would be usur. Same thing if you're tearing off a piece of the hadas because you want to have it for the hadas manyantiv, there is room for leniency. Sif samach ilan, a tree bench lach ben shavish, whether it's moist or dry, emishtamsh by shum tashmish, may not be used on Shabbos. And the definition of a tree is anything that's three tefachim tall. And the Gemara Masechet Erevin explains, because we're concerned that we're going to allow you to use that tree, you may come to tear off branches or leaves, and therefore anything that is in the category of a tree may not be used on Shabbos. Included in that means you're not allowed to lean on a tree. The Paiskim ever say that if you have a strong tree, and you're not leaning in the tree in a very severe way, then maybe you can lean on the tree. But if you're leaning on the tree and you're relying on the tree for your support, that would be usur. Even though if you're not moving the tree, the menidai, if you're causing the tree to move, there's a whole new concern. Isur muksa, the tree is considered muksa. But if you're walking in an area where there's a tree and you're not touching the tree, you're just walking and the branches are on your way and you're just walking through that area, that is mutter. In Oilamba, you're not allowed to climb on a tree. In Nitlamba, we're not allowed to rest on the tree if the tree's going to move. Voslanich, Eza Chafetz, we're not allowed to leave on the tree anything. Oilitlamemenu, or to take anything off the tree. Oilikshaba behemoth, to tie an animal to the tree. Even on the side of the tree, as we've been learning, you're not allowed to use it. If there's a basket hanging on the tree, you're not allowed to take anything out of that basket, or put anything into the basket. The basket is considered an extension of the tree. Avam yosa terka be'ilin. If you have a nail attached on the tree, fall of tolisal, and there's a basket hanging on that nail, so then the basket is not connected to the tree, then mutalitul matoichoi, then you can take things out of the basket or litain litoichoi, or put them into the basket. Shum the as havat sal, since the sal is attached to the nail and the nail is attached to the tree, that's a new category. That's called sadit sadodim. For sal os likach mesham, the basket should not be taken. Or litlos mesham, you shouldn't put the basket or take the basket. Shum da mishtamish b'yosed, if you're taking off the whole basket, then you're using the nail which is connected to the tree, which is osur. And therefore, the paiskim say that you can lay down on a hammock that's attached to trees. As long as the hammock is not attached directly to the tree, there's something that's like a nail or a hook that the tree, that the hammock is attached to, which is in the tree. As long as a tree is strong enough that when you lay down on that hammock or you sit down on the hammock, or same thing would be on a swing or on a bench, it's strong enough that it won't cause the tree to shake.